Okay.
I was just drinking some water.
We're here. We're hydrated. When was the last time you
drank water?
Water today.
I mean, look, I'm supposed to be more than halfway through this thing, and I just started just an hour ago, and it's, let's say, later in the afternoon. So I've not been doing a great job. And thank you for bringing that up, Tessa, because we're going to be talking about the the importance of hydration and many, many other things for our health in the new year.
2025. How many ounces is that for listeners? That
okay, let me just tell you. It's a gallon.
Okay.
So I drink a gallon a day. I try to. For the most part, I do a pretty good job. But there are definitely days where I don't complete the whole gallon. But I will tell you, I notice a difference. I notice a big difference when I don't. Mm. How much water do you drink?
I drink about 64 ounces. I don't know how many ounces is in a gallon.
Well, here's the thing. When everybody comes back in January, we're going to have some real legitimate answers. And to give you a little bit of insight, there's going to be a lot of these kinds of questions that Tessa and I are not only going to ask each other, but we're going to ask you, the audience, and some interspersed expert guests. We're so excited to be doing this new project while the Radically Love podcast is under construction. So for those of you that have been fans or listeners for a very long time, get ready because we're going on a brand new ride and we can't wait to share it with you. Hello, friends. I'm Rosie Acosta, your host and guide on this journey to self-discovery and radical love. I've walked a path filled with challenges. Growing up in East LA during the 92 LA riots, it left me searching for meaning, for mentors, for a way to truly understand the purpose of life. But you know what I found? The power of conversation. So I decided to create a space where we can share these conversations with you, our community. And that's how the Radically Love podcast was born. Join me as we dive into topics like mindfulness, spirituality, self-love, and the keys to overall healthy living. I'm joined by my dear friend, fellow author, producer, and teacher, Tessa Tovar.
Hi, I'm Tessa, and I'm grateful to be part of this community because it teaches me so much about what it means to be human. Ever since I was a little one, I was always asking the deeper questions in life. Why are we here? What happens when we are gone? What is the purpose of life? I love this show because I get to ask the questions that cut right to the meaning of life. I've learned that no matter how much we want the path to be clear, it never is. And that is actually part of the beauty that creates a radically loved life.
Please do us a favor, share the episodes you love with your friends, and leave us a review. Together, we'll learn how to create a life that's truly, deeply, radically loved. Let's begin.
And here we are, back at it.
Do you want to know something really interesting?
Yes, always.
I think, oh my God, I love it when pets make, by the way, Chowder's in here right now, so oh my God, he is past the F out right now. But if you hear him scratching at the door, it's because he's wanting to get out. So we might have to just let everybody know that that's going to happen in advance.
Dogs and cats are welcome on this show.
Literally. Okay. So I realized the last time I was at the studio when I was at Headspace recording some new content, new meditations that we're working on. It is so, even after all of this time, and I've been recording content for, I don't know, like over a decade, I think more than a decade. Wow. Just kidding. 2024. Damn. So since 2010, I think, or 2010, let's say.
And when you say recording content, you mean podcast?
Yeah. Or? So when I'm saying recording content, I mean recording meditations or recording wellness content. You know, I think at the time I was trying to do like some IIN type videos, you know, like after doing IIN, I think I was just really into doing
wellness type of content. And back when I was, when I first started recording, like if anybody out there has ever recorded anything, it is so intimidating, right? To just the minute somebody hits record, all of a sudden, it just feels like a deer in headlights.
I love this topic.
You know what I mean?
Talking about it. Yes. Oh gosh.
Right. Totally. So just, I was in the studio the day before yesterday, and you know, I'm to me, it's such a second nature thing now that I don't think about it. I just go in, I've got my script, and you know, it's like you're working with an engineer. It's different when you have a team, right? But it's almost worse because when you mess up, it's like the constant, oh, sorry, oh, sorry, oh, sorry, oh, sorry. You know, it's the constant, like, I'm really sorry. But it was interesting because for some reason, when I sat in the studio and, you know, everything, it's like lights, camera, action. All of a sudden, you're meant to, I'm going to do air quotes, perform. And it's this really interesting thing that used to happen to me in the beginning where I would feel like a deer in headlights. Like you don't know how to, where am I looking? Am I looking on the camera? Am I looking to you? Am I looking down? Oh, I didn't like how that came out. And then you start to feel like you're editing yourself, mm-hmm. right? Because this is the thing that I think happens a lot on social media. We edit ourselves to become this performer. And it feels so, for me, it feels so unnatural. I'm so much more comfortable doing this or being able to just be normal or talk to a friend and have it be recorded as opposed to I'm giving a talk by myself or with other people around and I'm looking straight at the camera. Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh, yeah. I mean, I think about this too. I think there's also a big difference between like what you and I are doing here. We're sitting in our comfortable space. It's just kind of like you and I, you know, yeah. even though we're talking to this big audience.
Yes.
Of course, you're all here with us.
You're here with us and we love you all.
Yes. Thank you for being here. But I guess what the nuance for me is like, it's not necessarily a studio with there's a director and there's the producer and there's like people talking to you in your ear about looking this way and kind of cueing you in the, I think about like the lights, camera, action magic of a Hollywood studio, yeah, you know? Right.
Yeah, where people are trained to perform in front of a camera or people are trained to perform in front of an audience. I think I'm curious what this is like for you because since 2020, you've had to do stuff. You've done live classes online. Like you've had to sort of create this content, right? All of us in 2020 became content creators, whether you're in this space or not. That's what was happening. That was our medium of communication, which was beautiful because it got us, it provided an opportunity for us to connect with so many more people that we would never connect with, right? I'm thinking about my morning matchas mm-hmm. where I would do this every day. I'd go live in the morning and it was so much fun. For me, it's different being around people than it is to be in front of a camera where it's a one-sided dialogue. It's you know, I'm talking at you as opposed to even this with you and I. And I feel like for me, this is more fun because I get to talk to you. We get to have an interaction. And I feel like that for me feels more genuine and authentic rather than me creating something and, you know, just putting it out there. Does that make sense?
I don't know. Yeah, absolutely. Well, there's so many different ways to create content. You know, for me, the big, huge switch was going from teaching yoga classes live to students where I would get that feedback of like, oh, this cue is landing because I can see
it. You can see it.
Yeah. Or that cue is not landing because they're the deer in the headlights and they're confused right. about what I'm saying.
It's like, why are their hips going this way and the arm is going on the other? That's not right.
So it's a little bit strange at first, like with anything new, there's a learning curve and there's pros and cons, but I really have enjoyed, I guess it's, you know, like learning a new skill. I've enjoyed being able to set up my space, teach and create content in my own home, my home office, because prior to COVID, when I did, I always talk about how I left the corporate work world to come to this entrepreneurial lifestyle. I struggled in those first few years with feeling like I could go to my office and do work. I kept feeling like, oh, I have to go to a coffee shop and do work.
Right,
and then
pretty
soon I was spending all my money on coffee and treats in a coffee shop and not really doing any work. So having my own space and feeling like this is dedicated, it feels like an office. I get up, I go to work. It's separate from my bedroom. It's separate from my kitchen. And when I'm in here, I'm focused and I'm working. Yeah. It's been really nice.
Yeah. It's nice to be able to have that space to create in a way that is sustainable for you. You know, I also feel like, not to go off topic, but we get to do whatever we want. I feel like also we've become so used to, maybe I should frame it like this instead. Do you think that because we have access to cameras and phones and things like that, do you think we're overexposed?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think it's kind of a double-edged sword. I think it's this weird, it's like how used to being in front of a camera, talking to yourself, looking at yourself, do you want to be? And then how does that translate to when you go to have a lot? You know what? Honestly, what I think has been the biggest eye-opener is going back to studios and teaching live.
Yes.
And getting that feedback is almost a little bit scarier.
Oh, really? Tell us.
Yeah. So, I mean, I still teach a class online. But then the majority of the classes that I teach right now are in studio with live bodies moving with cues. And when I had to make that step back into the studio space, I was like, oh, these people are all right here in front of me looking at me. And there was a little bit of that stage fright because, you know, having a career in teaching yoga and meditation is a little bit like having a career in public speaking.
Yes.
And so there is that, you know, okay, now I'm on. And yes, I'm sharing from a place of knowledge and what I know. It's not like I'm making this stuff up as I go. But I think we all have that kind of innate fear of being in front of a group of people. I mean, are you with me on this, Rosie?
Yeah, like, no, for sure. Look, I'm with you. Like, I still get a little butterflies in my stomach and nervous. And I think it's just a natural thing. And I think it's really great. I feel like now that nervousness is more excitement just because I love being around people, you know? And I think I love being in a studio setting, or I love being in a classroom setting where I get to have dialogue. And there is an energy exchange as opposed to it being just a one-sided experience where I don't actually know how what I'm saying is landing or if it's making sense or if you even connect with it, right? If we're in person and I can see, yeah, that story didn't really do what I wanted it to do, or, oh, they really like this topic. How can I give them more of this? Like, how can we dig in a little bit deeper, you know? And so, but even then, it is a little bit more, I mean, let's talk about vulnerability, because truly it's an opportunity for us to be vulnerable, right? A lot of the times people think that I just listened to this podcast with Lori Gottlieb. She's a therapist, very, very well-known New York Times bestselling author. She just was on the Diary of a CEO podcast, and it's one of my favorite podcasts. I love Steve Bartlett. I think he's brilliant and he's so curious and charismatic, and it's a really great show. But she's talking about this idea of like vulnerability and how we think that because we get on our phones or we share online, you know, people praise us for, you know, that was so vulnerable. Like, this is such a courageous thing that you're doing. And we can sort of send these emojis as a sign of support. But at the end of the day, like, I think that what her point was, that vulnerability lies in the opportunity to be vulnerable one-on-one when you get that experience, right? Because even though, yes, it's brave to share what you're going through and it's brave to be able to come out and say certain things, it's still only one-sided, you know? Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, it's a two-dimensional experience. It's not a three-dimensional moment where I feel like me being vulnerable about something I'm going through is held differently in the presence of another person. And I feel like this ties into our desire to be tribal and to be accepted. And it's just all ties together with this whole conversation. Why do we even get on a stage, lights, camera, action? Why do we even create content? We're creating content, yes, because there is a desire to share what we know because we love, you know, some teaching of some sort and we want it to help others like it helped us. But the biggest reason is because we want to connect. We want to connect with people. We want to create a tribe. We want to create a community because that's how we heal ultimately in community. I mean, think about healing on your own by yourself. Like me having a million followers and sharing something really deep and heartfelt is, you know, to my followers, it's like there's a different energy there as opposed to if I'm sitting on a couch with my best friend or somebody I really care about and I share that same experience. Like that's the vulnerability. That's vulnerable, right?
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm not saying that the other isn't. I'm not trying to say one is better than the, I personally do think in person is more vulnerable sharing than in a platform like this, but not trying to take away from people. But I think that there is something to be said of an energy exchange when you're human to human.
Yeah, for sure. When you get that in the moment, real time feedback about whether or not that thing, it's that thing of it. You see it land with the person. It doesn't have to be teaching yoga. It can just be sharing how you feel about a certain situation and having a conversation, a real deep, true conversation, which is hard to do because there's all of this fear, like you're talking about, tribal mentality, which is very instinctual for us. And it's not anything to be ashamed of. And so I think about that in terms of, you know, we want to belong. We want people to, what's the word I'm looking for? Accept us. It's like what you're saying. So we want to feel accepted and we're afraid, I think, and I feel this too. We're afraid that if someone doesn't understand what we're saying, the thing doesn't resonate.
Yeah.
Then that is the vulnerability of being rejected. The possible.
Yes, or going back to what you were saying, the feedback, right? It's so, it could be very intimidating to be, you know, I've shared this with you and I've shared this in classes. I've had people come up to me and tell me that they didn't like my class or that they thought that, or I did a practice wrong. I remember teaching at Wanderlust one year and, one of the students came up to me and said, "Oh, I recognize this practice from, you know, these teachings, and you actually did it wrong." And it's like, well, I had intentionally done it the way I'd done it because I'm teaching to, it's not an advanced class. Obviously, you need to tailor your teachings to the audience. And typically when I would teach at the festivals, I'd always get a lot of beginners and people that weren't that experienced in meditation, you know? So I did change it. You know, I altered it so that it was more general population ready. Like my prison work is coming out now in my vernacular. I'm like, gen pop. It was general population. So, you know, I think that getting that feedback right then, it's pretty, part of me was like, damn, like, that's pretty brave of you to come up to the teacher after she just taught and give her this feedback. Like, what was the purpose of that, right? And so I just took it and I didn't dwell on it. You know, I tried to not anyway, even though I'm bringing it up here many, many years and years later. Yeah. Because it's always the negative feedback that you remember. I got so much positive feedback, and I'm sure there's people here listening to this podcast that I met while I was on, you know, those tours. So yeah, look, I mean, you're not for everyone, mm-hmm. right? You're not for everyone, and that's okay. In fact, that's great, because the people that you're for will find you and you will find them. And it seems to me in my 40 years of being alive that that is the case. You know, people will come and go, people will stay. And if people really resonate with you, then they'll resonate with you, you know? And sometimes they're here for a short while, and sometimes they're here for a long time, and it's just different. You know, I feel like if people aren't appreciating you for who you are and what you have to offer, whatever content you're making, that's okay. You know, let them go and find somebody else, you know? But I do find that there are people sometimes that are really struggling and suffering, and sometimes they seek out people that they don't like to follow them or to sort of let them be a whipping post, you know, so that they can, you know, have that experience of letting go of those very intense emotions. Does that make sense?
Oh my gosh. Yeah. There's so many things in what you just said that I want to be like, yes, and this, Well, I mean, I think the first thing I want to just emphasize is that when we get that kind of feedback, it really says more about the person who's given you the feedback than it is really about you. It's sure. What do you always say, Rosie? It's the expectation is premeditated disappointment. And so that person showed up with an expectation for the class or the content you were providing, and they had an expectation that was different than what was present. And that's okay. That's their expectation. It doesn't have anything to do with you, really, at the end of the day. And it is hard to remember to let that go. And I have so many stories of the same nature where I got feedback that was, it made me question. And I've told you these stories. It made me question my validity as a teacher. Mm. Talk about being vulnerable. It was like, oh my God, I shouldn't be doing this work. It makes you question like your life's work. So it's a hard line to walk to get that feedback. But that as a teacher is, or anyone in the public eye, you're going to get that feedback. So we always say that this work is not for the faint of heart. It's not. We develop a thick skin over time. But also, I think there's just something so incredible about maintaining your sense of emotion, maintaining your sense of feeling, and not developing a thick skin on purpose. Like, be vulnerable, be emotional, take the feedback. Is there anything in there that might be true that you could learn from? And also, what's not helpful? That has everything to do with them and nothing to do with you. I keep thinking about our conversation with Saw. In what really stuck with me in that conversation was his call to hold paradox. And I think that's what we're talking about here in terms of making us more complete, compassionate human beings. How can we hold the feedback from someone that feels negative and also believe in our teaching and the content we're putting out there simultaneously being valid? That person's feedback might be valid, and your teachings are also valid at the same time.
Do you know if you're getting enough magnesium? Because 4 out of 5 Americans aren't. And that's a big problem, because magnesium is involved in more than 300 biochemical reactions in your body. Today, I want to talk to you about the most common signs to look for that could indicate you're magnesium deficient. Listen carefully to the end, because there's a special offer happening, and this could be exactly what you need. Okay, here we go. Are you irritable or anxious? Do you struggle with insomnia? Do you experience muscle cramps or twitches? Do you have high blood pressure? Are you sometimes constipated? There are dozens of symptoms of magnesium deficiency, so these are just a few of the most common ones. Now, here is what most people don't know. Taking just any magnesium supplement won't solve your problem, because most supplements use the cheapest kinds that your body can't use or absorb. That's why I exclusively recommend Magnesium Breakthrough. It's the only full spectrum magnesium supplement with 7 unique forms of magnesium that your body can actually use and absorb. All Bioptimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund, no questions asked. They are so confident that they offer 365-day money-back guarantee. Just go to www.bioptimizers.com/radically loved. Use the promo code radicallyloved10. You can get gifts with your purchase. You can get 2 travel-sized bottles of Magnesium Breakthrough. Act fast. This is a limited time offer. Go to bioptimizers.com/radicallyloved and use the promo code radicallyloved10. 100%. And here's the other thing too, just to add to that. We also, depending on where you're getting the feedback from, obviously if somebody comes up to your face and is like, I hate your class, it's, you can't just turn it off, right? It's like, okay, thank, it's like one of my students from a teacher training that we did, I think the last one that where you assisted, Tessa, that she said whenever she would get feedback from anybody or her mother-in-law, she would just say, thanks for letting me know. And do you remember that? I love that. I love that so much. And I use it so much now. Ever since then, I use it. I'm like, oh, thanks for letting me know. Like that's it. Like just thanks for letting me know. And I think about the moments prior to knowing that. I wish I would have known that. And to just say, thanks for letting me know. Like that there is no, you don't need to respond or you don't need to justify yourself. You know, it's so a couple of months ago, I was on my friend Daniel Tosh's show, his podcast, and it was so fun. I had the best time. He's hilarious. And I got a lot. I mean, it's probably the most feedback I've ever had, ever being in the social sphere. And there were some comments that were really negative. And, you know, in the beginning, I was like, I try to not pay attention to stuff like that. You know, obviously on the podcast, when people send me a DM or they comment on a podcast episode, I'm very responsive and I like to really interact. But this was like on a bigger scale, obviously. And, you know, it's interesting to just see the reactions of people en masse. And as I was reading, you know, I was telling Tori, I'm like, oh my God, like some of these comments are so full of hate and they're so mean. And I'm like, why do people think that they are allowed to just say that? But at the end of the day, it's like, we are on a public platform. To put yourself on the stage is to put yourself in the line of fire. I mean, truly. And I understand that. And so I just stopped looking. Like in the beginning, I was responding back on YouTube and trying to, you know, like some people had questions, you know, a lot of people started following me on Instagram, thanks to being on his show, which is really great. I have a lot of really great new people here and some that are even listening to this podcast, which if you came from the Daniel Tosh show, welcome. This is your loving space. But at the same time, you know, the people that were leaving the hateful comments, like I just had to ignore it. And that's how you turn it off, right? You just have to, I don't have to go seeking for it. And I think that that's another issue that we can latch on to. Sometimes we're proactively looking for, okay, yes, I have 10 great comments, but there's that one. And well, is it true? Am I really like this? Am I really coming off in this way? Is it true what they're saying? Like, it just makes you doubt yourself. But I think that those are those opportunities where you just say, thanks for letting me know and move on. It's like, you don't like me, you don't have to be here. It's that simple, right? Nobody's forcing you to be here. Like, you can go. Or if you're consistently trying to sneak into my DMs to be hateful, you're going to get blocked. I mean, that's also a remedy. Imagine if you can block people in real life.
I mean, you're talking about drawing a boundary between yourself and other people's negative feedback. And I think that takes a certain level of self-worth and self-confidence. And I think that's something to be aware of if you're deciding, okay, I'm going to put content out there. I'm going to put myself in a public forum where I'm going to get feedback. If you're the type of person who's thinking, okay, well, I hope I only get positive feedback. Guess what? That's not always going to be the case. So you really have to learn how to stay grounded. And when you get that kind of feedback, like Rosie is saying, check yourself, make sure you're not going and seeking it out. And also, what kind of self-care practices, what kind of self-love affirmations talk, what can you do to remind yourself that the work that you're doing it intentionally, it's valuable, and there's a reason you showed up to do this work. Like, it just didn't come out of the blue, I'm assuming, you know? There's something inside of you that's a spark and a flame that you're following. And so I think it's important to remember the why. I always go back, why are you doing this? What's the intention? Because haters gonna hate. Haters gonna hate.
Haters are gonna hate, you know? They really are. And that's okay. That's if that's part of their process and that's part of their journey at this moment, like, go for it. Have at it. Have it all. Like, be there. Have fun. But stay on your side, you know, like, stay in your lane and don't come on mine. And here's the thing too, like, it makes me think of people out there in the world that are just creating content to tear people down. It's really unfortunate that we can't approach it from because of an algorithm. Let's be honest, it's an algorithm. And that's why people choose to create content to tear people down. And I just don't know that that's the best type of energy to put out in the world. You know, it's like that, it's Schadenfreude, right? When you take pleasure in other people's pain or misfortune, you know, we're watching, you know, we watch videos of, you know, people falling or people, you know, getting reprimanded or getting into trouble or getting canceled or whatever. And, you know, everybody's just, you know, we're all just there watching. And it's at the end of the day, like, the algorithm's just going to feed us more of what we spend time on. And so the more we spend time on that kind of content, the more we're going to continue to perpetuate it. But I also feel like big emotions draw big crowds, right? So if you're having a very strong emotion, whether it's joy, happiness, or sadness, or anger, you know, we're very drawn to that. You know, it's such a raw human emotion that we're constantly drawn to it, regardless of where we're at, right? Like, somebody's having, you know, somebody got good news. It's like those videos that you see when, you know, that college grad, like that college kid is, or the kid going to college gets that college acceptance letter. You know, I'm always like just sitting there crying, like, oh my God, you know, it's like the story, you know, and they're just so happy. And I'm like, oh, or, you know, the videos of, you know, people becoming a family or the rescue animal stories. Like, I'm just like sitting there hysterical crying, like, oh my God, like, there are angels in the world, right? But for me, that's the kind of content I follow, and it's the kind of content I want to see, right? So, but once in a while, I get the really provocative, anger inciting content where it creates this energetic field of, like, you can't shake it, right? So I'm going to go to a Spider-Man quote, like, with great power comes great responsibility. And just going back to the beginning of this conversation, we were talking about, yeah, like, being on camera or creating content. And it's like, look, I'm a yoga and meditation teacher, you know, like, I came to this work because this practice changed my life. It saved my life. Like, it changed it so much that I wanted to figure out a way to bring this to more people, right? Who am I? Who am I to do that? And that's a constant thought. Like, why? Who would want that? But considering the fact that I've been able to build this platform shows me, okay, people want to hear from me. They want to know what I think and how I think. But my biggest sort of pathway to purpose has been, how do I get people excited about their own journey? Like, how are they going to spark that in other people? It's like, let's create a ripple effect, right? This is the Radically Loved podcast. It's not the Rosie Acosta podcast, right? So that's always been my intention with this practice. I was never thinking like, oh, I'm going to create this sort of me platform that I've seen a lot of teachers in the same space create, which is, that's your thing. Have at it. I'm not hating on you. Like, it's just a different pathway. That's not the pathway that I wanted to take. And I think it's important for us to, you know, especially in the world of wellness, to come back to what these practices at their core are about, right? Is taking away the ego, the I am-ness. It's again, you know, we talked about the kleshas on the last episode that we did together. It's sort of like, how do we create more sustainable joy? How do we create better ways to navigate suffering? See, I'm not saying how do we take away our suffering. I'm saying how do we create better ways to navigate it? Because suffering is inevitable, right? Like, these things in the public sphere are inevitable. We're going to experience them, you know, unless you want to just delete yourself and take yourself off grid, which, go for it. Like, I'm all about it. But that's just not where we're at right now.
Yeah. Well, and I think the other thing too, to keep in mind is this idea of slow productivity, which, speaking of other podcasts, I was listening to a podcast about this topic, slow productivity, and it's very much related to what we're talking about here in terms of when you start doing something like this, creating content, sharing it, and it's like based on an algorithm, and the algorithms, like what Rosie was saying, dramatic emotions, big emotions, you know, that might get you big hits right away. But I think in that line of work, what's the long-term goal, and is that sustainable for you? And as like, if you were to take a step back in your life and be like, does this make me feel good inside? Does this make me happy? I guess probably not. It probably feels a little bit empty. At least that's how I would feel. And when I think about it in that way, if I get, you know, a little bit jaded sometimes, or if I get a little bit tired sometimes or uninspired sometimes, I really have to take a step back and again, what is this? So slow productivity is like, what sparks your joy? Why are you doing the thing you're doing? Not based on an algorithm that's telling you do X, Y, and Z to get X results, which is, you know, a template, and it's like a way to do things, and it's a way to gain experience and a way to gain followers, but to what end, you know?
To what end?
Exactly. So that's the big question for me is, I think that, you know, you look at people who, like us, who are in this space, and we've decided to be here, we're committed to be here for the long haul, we have to constantly, you know, get inspired, we have to constantly educate ourselves, we have to constantly be, not on, but feeding ourselves in order to show up and do this work. And I mean, there is an aspect to being on there. But so the whole point of this idea of slow productivity is to kind of, I guess, buck the system, as it were, and let go of the idea of following the template of an algorithm and really follow your heart and let that be the work that drives you. It's like how artists, you know, before there were algorithms to
produce. Oh my God, have you read The Creative Act?
No, tell me about this.
Oh my goodness. Rick Rubin wrote this incredible book. It's a New York Times bestseller. He's like a very notable record executive, record producer. He co-founded Def Jam Records, and he's just like a music guru, right? And he, to me, I'm like, he's such a yogi. Like, this book called The Creative Act, he goes into basically what embracing the boundless potential of ourselves is all about, it's like he talks about different artists, different songs that were created, different pathways of getting to the creative space without the ego. And it's a beautifully written book. Tori and I actually, we'll throw it on when we were in Italy. We had both read it separately, but when we were in Italy, like at night, we didn't have a television, which I loved. He was miserable, but I was like, oh, this is amazing. Let's do this all the time. And he's like, no way. But we would put it on Audible to go to sleep to. So we would just listen to it. It's you would love it. It's great. It's on anywhere you get books, but I like to listen to it even now if I'm getting ready or doing something, because it's kind of one of those books you can open it wherever you go, and the stories are just so great. And it is basically saying what you're saying. It's like following your heart, doing something for the sake of doing it. And I feel like most art is always so much more impactful when you do it that way. I mean, so Stephen Kotler is a friend of the show, and he's like a mentor of mine and now friend. And we talk all the time about this because, I mean, his whole thing is like the Flow Collective, right? He has done all these neuroscience studies about flow and creativity and all of these things. And anytime I've ever brought up an idea or, you know, and it's a little intimidating, you know, an award-winning author that's written like a million books, who's so well-spoken and writes so well and beautifully, you know, to say to somebody who doesn't feel like they're at that level, obviously, you know, I still feel like I'm very much a beginner. For me to tell him an idea I have for something and for him to be like, that's a really great idea, like go for it. And me to feel like, oh, I can't, I've never written a novel. The idea is a novel. It's an idea for a novel that I've told you about. I have this idea, I really want to do this. And this is how I'm framing the characters. And this is sort of like the three, I'm not going to say too much, but this is sort of the pathway that I want to take. And he's like, just all about it. He's like, do it. That sounds amazing. And I'm like, oh, I'm just worried about it. He's like, don't worry about that. Just write it. And I'm like, oh, that to me, I go back to what you were saying and going back to the creative act. Like, I feel like so much of what we were talking about before, the pay attention to me stuff, mm-hmm. is a distraction to what we can create. Instead of focusing on me reading comments or getting hung up on somebody's negative feedback, I need to be writing. Like, that's where my energy needs to go. It's like, if I have time to go through this and doom scroll on TikTok or Instagram, I've got time to write.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So I think just to your point, writing your heart and being able to focus on what's inspiring you the most is always going to bring you back to your why, your reason for being, your desire to create, or that next step you want to take in your career or relationship or whatever, you know, it's the fuel that you need in order to bring you to a better state of clarity and a better state of fulfillment.
Oh, yes. So the question, dear listeners, I think for you today, having made it through this amazing, inspiring podcast, is like, what lights you up? What are you excited about? What are you dreaming about? What would you do if you didn't care what anyone thought about what you said or what you did? What would you do with your one wild and precious life? Thank you, Mary Oliver, for those amazing words. I mean, me? I'd be sitting and writing poetry all the time. And why am I not doing that? Too much scrolling.
I love that you just call yourself out like that. I guess for me, what I would be doing is I would be doing the same. I would be actually, I'd probably be sitting reading and just sitting curled up with the dogs with some hot, talking about the dogs. You guys probably heard that. Apologies. Sitting with a cup of cacao, ceremonial cacao, and just petting the pets by the fireplace, reading books. And I would want to be around people. Like I would want to have like a little book club or something. That's what I would be doing. You know, if I didn't have to worry about a job, if I didn't have to worry about paying my bills, I would be just sitting in community discussing creative topics just for the purpose of connection.
Yeah. That's where your inspiration would come from too. And you'd be like, oh, I want to go write that.
Yes.
The idea
exactly.
into a novel. You have to give yourself that time.
Yeah. It's vital for mm-hmm. sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's the wisdom.
That's the wisdom. We kind of made today's episode like a Wisdom Wednesday, but I didn't want to say it.
Oh, I said it. Oops.
No, that's fine. We love it. Everybody that's listening to this knows. If you know, you know.
You know, you know. Thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We love you. And don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. And please, please leave us a review. The reviews really help us keep this going. You know, your feedback is so important to us. Even if you've been a longtime listener, I'll tell you right now, there's more of you listening to this right now than there are reviews on this podcast. So if you haven't, please go right now. Do it right now. Go on your podcast and give us a little rating. If you have nothing positive to say, you know what your parent would say is don't say it. You can send me a message if you're like, I don't like the way this is happening. It's fine. But I'm like, do not send it to Tessa because I will come for you. And yeah, we love you. Thank you so much for being here. Hey friends, thank you so much for listening to the Radically Love podcast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps. Also, don't forget to check out the Mindful Love Hub on Substack. This episode was produced by Tessa Tovar, music by DJ Taz Rashid.